college students be able to have these kind of opportunities. I very much appreciate that opportunity, and that's an ongoing thing, and that's a big deal. That's a really great thing. So thank you for having me here tonight. I really do appreciate it. Imagine you are in your hometown. Maybe that's here in Henderson, Tennessee, or maybe that's on the other side of the United States, wherever that may be that you're from, and you hear that an army is about to come overtake that town, and you know that they're going to win, and you know that your hometown does not stand a chance. And that army sends a couple of spies into your town, and they come to your house. What in the world would you do in that situation? What in the world would we do in that kind of situation? Tonight we're going to look at a woman who had that exact situation happen. Go ahead and turn your Bibles with me to Joshua chapter 2. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 2 tonight. We're going to be talking about Rahab. And she had this exact situation happen. But I kind of want to start at the end here so we understand kind of what's going on. So we understand more deeply the person that we are referring to here in our passage. A lot of times we look at the Bible and we look at Bible stories in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, and we look at characters, people in those stories, and we say, well, let's be like these people. These are good examples. And that's exactly right. And we should be doing that. But why in the world should we look at the example of a prostitute that lived in a Canaanite city that God deemed worthy of nothing but to be completely destroyed? See, we need to look and see why Rahab really is that good example tonight. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, we see that Rahab is included in the famous Hall of Faith passage. And it says, by faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. We see in the rest of the Old Testament that it really doesn't talk about Rahab very much. And what we do see is that she was saved and she continued to live with the Israelites. But in the New Testament, we see that the New Testament praises Rahab for what she did. The New Testament praises Rahab. It commends her as this good person of faith. And so tonight I want to talk about how, though Rahab was a sinner and someone who was caught up in a life of sin, that she was able to go from that life to a new life. And we can look at the example of Rahab because just like Rahab, we too have been in sin. And maybe tonight we are in sin. But we can see the example of maybe someone we might consider the worst of the worst, a Canaanite prostitute, that even God used her. And that God can use each and every one of us to do His will. So here, be in your Bibles with me at Joshua chapter 2. The background here is that Moses has just died. And Joshua, the new leader of the Israelites, has brought them across the Jordan River into the land of Canaan. And God has told them, wipe out everybody. And so they've come to the first city on their conquest. And so Joshua gets these couple of guys together and says, all right, go into the land and look at the land and especially look at Jericho. And so they do that. And it says, and they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. And so we're going to start in verse 2, and we're going to read what happens here. It says, and it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hid them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where they went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. And the gate was shut down as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And listen here to what she says in this next verse. Remember it said in Hebrews that by faith Rahab was good to the Israelite spies? Here's where we see her faith in the original passage that she's in. Verse 11, and as soon as we heard it, this is her talking about hearing about the Israelites, who God was on their side. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Rahab knew who God was. Rahab knew who God was. And she said, our hearts melted. We were scared. We were all terrified. Because we know you have God on your side, and we know He's God. And we know who God is, that He is far more powerful than we are, and we don't stand a chance. Tonight we can see in Rahab that she had a heart that feared the Lord. She had a heart that feared the Lord. And she knew that the Lord was God. My question is, do we acknowledge that power? Do we acknowledge the power of our God? Do we acknowledge that if we are standing against Him, then we can't stand before Him? We can't stand against God. And Rahab knew that. And so Rahab was scared. A lot of times, and rightfully so, we take comfort in the power of God. And we should, as Christians, we should take comfort in the power of God, because God is here for us. He's here to help us. He's saved us from our sins. He's here to help us in the times of life that are more difficult. He's here to help us through the easier times as well. And we can take comfort in knowing that we have a powerful God that is able to take care of us. But Rahab was not on God's side to start out here. And so when she saw that she was not on God's side, that she was at odds with God, she was terrified. She was scared, because she knew that she could not stand before God. Rahab saw herself as a person who was at odds with God, and she knew she couldn't win that matchup. So let me ask you right now, are we on God's side? Are we on God's side? Is that the side that we're living on during this life, or are we at odds with God? Because we see Rahab sees the reality of this situation. If we're at odds with God, there's no way we can stand before Him on judgment and expect to hear, well done. But if we stand before God in His power, having been saved by Him, we can stand before God and hear, well done. Are we on God's side? The scary truth is that if we're at odds with God right now, then we can't take comfort in His mighty power. But if we are on God's side, then we can take comfort in that power. And I encourage you to take comfort in His power. But we see that His power scared Rahab. And so what did she do? Well, we see that Rahab's healthy fear for the Lord led her to respond to him, led her to make a response to the Lord. We see first that Rahab, she hides the spies from the men that came from the king to take care of the spies that were there in Jericho. But she hides them from them so that they can't take them and kill them. And then second, we see that she sends away the men that came from the king. And we're going to start now in verse 12 and continue to see the agreement that Rahab makes with the Israelites as part of her response to God, because she realizes that I can't be this way anymore. I can't be at odds with God anymore. So I've got to do something different. So what does she do? Starting in verse 12, she says, "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." And the men said to her, "Our lives for yours, even till death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, "Go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward you may go your way." The men said to her, "We will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we will be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear." And she says, "According to your word, so be it." Then she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the hills and remained there 3 days until the pursuers returned, and the pursuers searched all along the way and found nothing. Then the two men returned. They came down from the hills and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and they told him all that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, listen to this. And they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us," because they had God on their side. So we see here in this passage that Rahab makes this agreement with the spies that came from the Israelites. She makes an agreement with them, and she sends them out in peace. And so Rahab uses what she has there. Rahab uses what she had, where she was, to start her response to God. It doesn't matter where you are. You can start your response to God. You can change your life to God right now where you are with what you have. You just got to have that change of heart. And that's what Rahab does. First, she hides the Israelites in her flax. She's got some flax up on her roof, and she hides them in there so that the men from the king won't be able to find them. And we see here in this story that Rahab had a rope. Have we ever thought about the importance of the rope? I hadn't until I started studying about Rahab. We see here in this story that Rahab used a rope to send out the spies safely. And this was part of her response to God that she was going to now be on his side. And the faith that she had in God manifested itself in a good work by making sure that the spies were able to exit the city safely. That those men could exit her city safely without being attacked by someone in the city. that might be lying in wait to get rid of some troublemakers. See all her kindness, her hospitality, her hiding the spies from the king's men. It wouldn't have been for anything had she not let them down the wall with the rope. Because obviously her house is high enough up on the wall that if they would have just climbed out the window, they would have fallen to their death. So they had to have something to get out. They couldn't go out just her front door back out into the streets because they'd probably be killed. So there was one option for them to be able to get out. And she uses her rope to bring them to safety, to send them to safety. And then she sends them on their way. And their intention is that when they come back to destroy the city, that she and her family are going to have their lives spared. That rope was pretty important. And the rope sealed the deal. Are we leaving out something in our lives that's going to seal the deal? Are we leaving something out in our lives that's going to make everything else not worth it? Jesus says that there are many who will say to me, Lord, Lord, that won't be able to enter the kingdom. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will. Let's make sure that we're doing the will of God. And let's make sure that we're not leaving anything out that is going to cause us to no longer, for the other stuff to not be worth anything. James chapter 2, verse 25 says, and in the same way was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? And the answer to that question is yes, she was. She was. Rahab responded to her knowledge of what God was going to do. And it says here in James, she was justified. She was justified. One of the last things we read about Rahab in the Old Testament is in Joshua chapter 6, verse 25. And it says, but Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. She's lived here to this day, is what was written at this time. So some time has passed, and she's still there with them. We see that means that Rahab turned her life around, because she wasn't going to be aligning herself with the Israelite way of life and living with them, and they wouldn't have accepted her had she not changed her life. We see that she gave her life over to God. We're first introduced to Rahab in Joshua 2, verse 1. And the first thing that is said about her, the first descriptor used about Rahab is that she was what? A prostitute. That she was a prostitute. So she was not living a righteous lifestyle at all. Her life was full of sin. Her life was full of sin. She was full of sin. Maybe tonight you feel that way. Maybe tonight we may be that way, full of sin. But you know what? God still used Rahab. God was still able to use her, Rahab, a Canaanite prostitute from a city that God deemed worthy of nothing but to be completely destroyed. God was able to use her. God can use you too. God can use every single one of us. Doesn't matter what we've done in our past. We see Rahab has about the worst past you could have. The future is still bright for every single one of us. And that's the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. That our sins can be washed away because of His blood on the cross. Because of His death, burial, and resurrection. God could still use Rahab, but she had to change her life. Rahab couldn't go on living the same way as she always had lived. We read a second ago in Joshua 6:25 that Rahab, when this was written, lived in Israel until this day. And she couldn't have stayed there living with Israel had she not changed her life. She wouldn't have been so commended in the book of James for her works justifying her faith had she not made a change in her life. It said she was justified. We can be justified as well. She couldn't have been in the hall of faith of Hebrews chapter 11 had she not made that change in her life. Rahab made a change. I remember it was back when I was in second or third grade, and I was a larger kid, and I remember that they had like this thing at school, my elementary school, where they evaluated and kind of weighed us and got our heights and calculated our health based on these different things, and then I remember getting the document back and going home and opening it up with my mom and reading what it said about my health. It said that I needed to make some changes in my life. And as a third grader, I was not willing to make those changes, and I didn't at that time. But sometimes we do go to the doctor, or we do go to some sort of clinic, and they tell us, you got to change something, or you're not going to survive. And sometimes we get that kind of news. And it's a troubling thing. It's a scary thing because we realize if I don't make a change right now, then I'm not going to make it. We see here that Rahab realized the same thing, except spiritually. And spiritually, it's a lot more important than physically. Do we need to make a change? Tonight, just because we're full of sin, if we are like Rahab was, then we can still make that change. We can still decide to be on God's side. And God can still use us, and God can still justify us like Rahab. Rahab feared the Lord. Rahab recognized the power of God and realized that she could not stand against that power because she was at odds with him. And so she responded. She responded to his will for her. She faithfully dealt with the Israelites. She faithfully made the covenant with them, the agreement with them, that since she had done this, that when they come in to take over the city of Jericho, that they'll save her and her family. And so they decide to do that. And so they tie a scarlet cord on her window that marks her house as, this is the household that we are going to have mercy on. This is the household that we are not going to destroy. This is the household that we're going to save their lives. They're not going to be killed like everyone else. And so that's exactly what happens. They tie the scarlet cord, and they completely destroy Jericho. But they save Rahab and her household. Tonight I want to ask you, is God's scarlet cord on you? Do you have God's scarlet cord tied on you? The blood of Jesus. See, when God looks at us, he sees the blood of Jesus. His scarlet cord upon us. He sees red and he says, I'm going to have mercy on that person. But if we don't have it on us, then we can't have that mercy. Tonight, do you have that cord on you? Tonight, maybe you've decided to, for some reason, take off that cord. Maybe God's cord is no longer on you. Maybe we've decided to live a different way. We saw in the covenant that Rahab made with the Israelites that one of the stipulations was, if you go out, Rahab, if you go out into the city while we're taking over Jericho, if you transgress against this covenant that we've made, if you don't agree to have the scarlet cord on your house, or if you go out into the streets, we won't spare you. But if you do follow through with what we've agreed to, then we will. And we see a striking resemblance between that and with the agreement that God has made with each one of us. And that we can be forgiven of our sins because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection through baptism into his death, that our sins may be washed away. Tonight, does the power of God to save and to destroy, does that scare us? I hope it doesn't, because it sure doesn't have to. It did Rahab at first, but because of her response to God, that power that God has was able to become something that she found immense comfort in. And we can as well. Tonight, if you do have any need, if you have taken that scarlet cord off, if you are no longer living the way that God wants you to live, he'd sure love to tie that back on. And tonight, if that's never been something that you've made a part of your life, then why not? Why not let him save your soul? Tonight, let's respond like Rahab and turn our lives over to God as we stand and sing.